Good morning, Stavanger Lutheran Church.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this fifth Sunday of Easter, also Mission Sunday. Starting off with a few announcements. Because it is Mission Sunday, you can designate your offerings to either the Hosh Ministry or Famine Relief in Chad. Just write that on the check to designate it toward those ministries there. For information about our Shady Oak Bible study, you can talk to me. My contact information is on the back of your bulletin. The Tuesday night Bible study is at 7 p.m. If you're interested in joining us for that study on the book of Jonah, you can reach out to Pastor John. Next Sunday, May 22nd, it is already our final day of Sunday school. The children will be leading the worship service, and following the worship service, there'll be a fellowship dinner with the all-church birthday party celebration. There'll be hot dogs and birthday cake provided if you could just bring a dish to share. So that sounds like it'll be a pretty good time. I know last year we had it outdoors. Is this going to be indoors or outdoors? Downstairs, yeah. So a new experience from last year. And the summer schedule, because Sunday school is ending, the summer schedule begins the following week, May 29th. And weather permitting, we're planning to have our worship service outdoors, which just sounds fantastic, especially when the weather's been as beautiful as it has been. We plan to have outdoor services again this summer, just like we did the last couple summers. And we will be announcing when we plan to be outdoors, so you'll be notified of that. Just remember to bring a lawn chair or maybe a blanket, something to sit on. Confirmation Sunday is also coming up. That'll be on June 5th. We have two confirmation students that are graduating this year. That's Michaela Stock and Mackenzie Haugen. The offering plate will not be passed around during the service. You can find that in the entryway. And I have an announcement, a special announcement from Caleb and Sarah Larson. There is the 10-year anniversary of the release of the film He Leadeth Me, and they are having a viewing of the show. I think on the poster it said it was at the Naz. Okay. Yeah, and what was the date on that? Okay, there'll be a poster hanging in the entryway up there that we'll put up, so if you're interested in that, you can reach out to Sarah or Caleb Larson or refer to the poster hanging up there. And there will be a free will offering taken up at the viewing. Are there any other announcements that I've missed? Then let us begin our worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, it is Mission Sunday this week, so we've got a mission video to watch now.
LBIM missionaries planted a church in southern Chad nearly a century ago. By the grace of God, this church has multiplied and is currently comprised of over 150,000 believers worshiping every Sunday. The Église Fraternelle Luthérienne de Chad is primarily located in the south of the country, where it is active in evangelism to its culturally similar neighbors. But the EFLT is increasingly paying attention to the many unreached Muslim peoples to their north and has partnered with LBIM in this mission.
The Southern Church is quite capable, and it's exciting to see the leadership stepping up, and that we're working together.
But missionary training for Chadians going to Muslim people groups has not been a strength of the EFLT.
We began to think, how can we come up with a radically different way of training Chadians for mission? What if we created a school that was actually a community where we lived together with Chadians, we work together, and we pray together, and we learn together what it's going to mean to go on mission together?
Here in Adare, usually one or two families at a time prepare for missionary work to Muslim people groups.
A time of training and life together as a family prepares them not only to go to a different people group, but also prepares them to learn how to live with American missionaries and work together in a way that we can really be a synergy together on the mission field.
John and Jacqueline have felt a call from the Lord to missions.
And they're just really suited for the mission. John grew up in a situation that was very difficult with his father, and he ran away from home as a young boy. A Fulbe man took him in and basically became his dad. so he understands their culture. He heard the gospel through a Lutheran Brethren evangelist and was trained by him to do door-to-door evangelism among villages, among his own people, which are called the Kera.
De communiquer la parole de Dieu aux hommes qui n'ont pas encore écouté la parole.
We start every day with morning prayer and having the experience of God, the Holy Spirit, speaking His Word into the heart through a text. Our first class time together, we teach them how to do an inductive Bible study, and that is, how would I lead somebody into a Bible text as a missionary to where I could actually lead them to the heart of a text.
We try to get at the root of, what is the gospel that we want to share?
How is this going to change how I think, how I feel, and how I'm going to do my mission when I'm away from my tribe and my family, and we're living among Northerners that are so different than we are?
Ça me prépare pour le prochain qui est là. Comment je peux montrer mon amour à celui qui n'a pas la même confession religieuse que moi?
We study the history of Islam. We do further readings of Muslims who become Christians. We read some practical texts on mission work among Muslims, give them ideas of approaches.
While the husbands arrive in Adare with theological training, the wives usually have had little education. But here, they are very much included.
This place helps equip her too, to understand Islam, to be able to express her faith to them, to understand, if one of them's interested, how she could actually lead them in a Bible study and lead them to faith in Christ.
Même si je lis la Bible, je trouve quelque chose qui est dedans. Avant à la maison, je lis pas loin là-bas. Quand je suis ici, je vais aller loin et prendre un mot pour décortiquer cet mot. Mais c'est bon carrément. C'est super, c'est bon.
Ce lieu ici nous forme personnellement d'abord à rencontrer Dieu dans le cadre de sa journée avec Dieu, qu'on n'a pas l'habitude de le faire sur le terrain.
We're preparing them over 3 years of going through the whole program here. We hope that they will be placed with one of our missionary teams so that they can realize their sense of call to mission. It's going to be invaluable to have strong, good partners in ministry to the unreached peoples of Chad with us.
Si Dieu nous a appelés au salut, et il nous appelle aussi au ministère, c'est ce que je sens. Là où il va voir que je serai important pour aider les frères qui ne le connaissent pas, je serai prêt à aller. Parce qu'il m'a sauvé, et il faudrait que les autres aussi soient sauvés.
Your gifts help support our Chadian missionary partners as they prepare to go to the unreached.
When I was in Chad this last January, we went to Adare and we met the students and their families who were there learning under Paul and Teresa. And since then, both of those families have graduated from the program and have been sent out. So we really see that God is blessing this mission that He has given to Paul and Teresa Zabodi. And I would encourage you, if you're able to support LBIM and any of the missions, that you would do that if you are able. Our call to worship this morning is Psalm 148, verses 13 and 14. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and He has raised up for His people a horn, the praise of all His faithful servants. Of Israel, the people close to His heart, praise the Lord. Let us continue with a moment of silence as we prepare for worship today. Heavenly Father, You alone are exalted. We have seen Your splendor, and it is our desire that all people would praise Your name. Lord, we think of all of the missionaries that you have raised up around the world. We ask that you would bless them, that you would send your word out from them, and that it would create faith in those who hear it. You, Lord, have dealt with us mercifully and with steadfast love. You have raised up a horn of salvation for us, that through your Son, Jesus Christ, we might have salvation and eternal life with you. So it is also our prayer this morning that all would come to the knowledge of salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we gather in worship, we ask that you would quiet all distractions, that you would turn us to you and to your word, that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to please rise as you're able as we begin to worship in song with our first song, He Lives. And there are some words that are missing from your bulletin. So if you could either follow along in the hymnal, it's number 533, or the words up on the screen. continue to worship God, coming before the Lord with the confession of our sins and also hearing the words of absolution. I invite you to follow along in your bulletin or up on the screen, reading aloud under the heading Congregation. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us, and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Let us also confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it, and I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, "Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all of your household will be saved." As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." Let us now turn to the Lord in prayer. And before we do, are there any prayer requests? All right, let us pray. Lord God, we praise your name this day. We thank you because your promises are true every morning. And we praise you for your continued work in our lives today. By your grace, we have been gathered here for worship. We ask that you would help us to worship you in truth and in spirit in a way that honors your name. Your love for us is immeasurable, and we cannot count all of the blessings that you have given to us. So we thank you for both the temporal and the eternal blessings that you have worked through your Son, Jesus Christ. But Father, despite these blessings, there are times when it feels that sin and evil and death surrounds us. May you remind us once again of your faithfulness and the promises that you have made to us, that we may be strengthened and comforted by them. We ask this especially for those who are suffering, and those who are facing sickness and illness. We think specifically of Audrey. We ask that you would be with her, that you would grant her quick recovery from her illness, that she would be strengthened and encouraged by you. We ask that those in need would feel the comfort and peace that can only come from you, Lord. And as we continue to worship you, we ask that you would bless Pastor John as he delivers your word to us. Quiet our minds and fix our attention on your word. Strengthen and preserve us by this word that you proclaim to us. Let us also pray as our Lord Jesus has taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I invite the congregation to rise as you're able for the reading of God's word. Gospel passage today from John chapter 16, verses 12 through 22, I read in Jesus' name. "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Jesus went on to say, "In a little while you will see me no more. Then after a little while you will see me." At this, some of the disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by saying, 'In a little while you will see me no more, then after a little while you will see me, because I am going to the Father?'" They kept asking, What does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he is saying." Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, then after a little while you will see me'? Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus makes reference to childbirth. Even with the advances in modern medicine in the last several decades, childbirth can still be a painful, debilitating, and even deadly experience for the child and the mother. When the first man and the first woman, which God had created, disobeyed him, the woman was told afterward, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain, you will give birth to children." Jesus wants his followers to understand what is about to happen. He's preparing them for what they will experience. This conversation takes place in the upper room before Jesus' crucifixion. In John chapters 13 to 17, we have an extended version compared to the other Gospels of what Jesus had to say to his disciples just before he went to the cross. And in this conversation with his disciples, he teaches them about the Holy Spirit they will receive, and that they are about to experience a great grief and sorrow such as they have not had before, but that it would be followed by an even greater joy. And so Jesus makes reference to the experience of childbirth to help them understand. The experience of childbirth, as I witnessed it firsthand on more than one occasion, but I say I witnessed it firsthand, it was the first time my hand had experienced the strength of my wife's hand to a fuller extent than I had previously experienced it or have since. I thought she was going to break every bone below my wrist. Perhaps. No, I won't go there. Just to share some of the pain. But that pain that that pain, that intense pain, Jesus says is forgotten when the child arrives. Assuming all has gone well. And there's a new life in the room. Jesus says things that are difficult for the disciples, for even us, to understand. But this experience of childbirth is something that is common to human experience. Whether you've actually given birth or not, you've certainly heard about it, and it's certainly the way you entered the world. Jesus wants his disciples to know that they will suffer, that they will grieve, but that it won't last, not forever. While the experience of grief or sorrow or pain is being experienced, we don't know when it's going to end, often, or how it will end. You see, when Jesus went to the cross, he had told his disciples beforehand that it was necessary for him to suffer, to die, and then to rise again. But this information just went past him. They couldn't take it in. And he even says in this passage, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now. And the implication is it's maybe more than they can understand now, or perhaps more than they can handle emotionally, or maybe some of each. But he's going to send the Holy Spirit, his Spirit, to be with them, to live in them, to be with us, to live in us. As Paul writes to the church in Corinth, that you all, the believers in that church, you all are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And to individual believers, you, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Pay attention to how you treat it. Pay attention how you treat each other. The Holy Spirit is the one who will teach us all things, who will remind us of what Jesus has taught us. He will lead us in all truth. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of Jesus, for Jesus said of himself, I am the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And here in this passage we see some of the profound truth and mystery of who God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All that belongs to the Father, Jesus says, is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Jesus shares with the Father and with the Spirit. Jesus came to glorify the Father. The Father glorifies the Son. The Spirit points to Jesus. And that is the promise Jesus makes here, to help prepare them for what they are about to experience, what they are about to endure. When an acquaintance of mine was a missionary, he would often, in his letters reporting on their work, would include a few cartoons, little hand-drawn cartoons to illustrate something that was going on in their lives, something lighthearted. And when the birth of their first child came along, he had a several-panel cartoon. It showed the little happy, smiling mom and dad walking into the hospital, she great with child. The next panel shows her settled into the hospital room, and still smiling, but a couple of sweat beads coming down the side of her face. And the panels progressed, two or three more, with increasing intensity of the expression on the mom-to-be's face. And finally, the next panel, all you saw was her face with eyes this big open, mouth that big open, hair standing straight out. And then the next panel, mom and dad and baby were all smiling. It's better to see it than to hear about it. But immediately that joy had displaced the grief. It was as if it was lost and the joy was found. The grief was lost and the joy was found. And the key was that new life. And here, Jesus refers to this experience to help them understand that what will turn their grief to joy is his resurrection. And how true it was when we read the accounts of the resurrection, the astonishment that became joy as they witnessed, as they had fellowship with the risen Jesus. But what about us? What about us today? We have the news of the resurrection. So why aren't we always joyful? Well, Jesus rose, and he spent time with his disciples for a time, and then he ascended to heaven. We don't see him now. And yes, he did send his Spirit, but we don't see Jesus now with our eyes. And it's as if we are in something not quite the same, because we know he is risen. But there is some, perhaps, similarity for our experience now as the disciples before Jesus went to the cross, in that we don't see him now, but we have a promise of his return. We struggle now because we have not yet seen the final fulfillment, the final celebration of the bridegroom with the bride, Jesus, with his church when he returns. In the end of Matthew, when Jesus talks about the things that will happen, that people will experience as the time for his return approaches, he refers to these things as the beginning of birth pains. In Matthew 24, Jesus says, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved." And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. We are in the beginning of birth pains, ever since Jesus rose and ascended into heaven. Paul writes about this in the book of Romans, chapter 8, as we experience this on a personal level. The Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The present sufferings, not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed, for the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in the hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we eagerly await for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Jesus not only has prepared his disciples at the time of his crucifixion and resurrection, but he has prepared us by giving us his word, that we may know that the present groaning and struggling and yearning that we experience is going to give way to a greater joy than we can imagine. Jesus' resurrection and return is a promise that he has made to us already. It's a promise that we can receive by the Spirit he has given us. Jesus said, flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. And as Peter proclaimed on the day of Pentecost, quoting from the prophet Joel, when God promise that he'll pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Conclude with what Martin Luther said on this passage. Christ also illustrates this with the example of a woman about to give birth. For her, the hour of endurance is now at hand. No one can say whether she will recover or die. All is anguish and anxiety with no foreseeable end. But everything is concentrated on the moment when the child is born into the world. In that moment, the anguish is immediately forgotten because of the happy sight of the newborn child. A change like this is also experienced here in the Christian life. Sadness will not last forever. It will turn into joy. Otherwise, our condition would be hopeless and helpless, but Christ has helped by saying that we will not be subjected to the eternal spectacle of the devil with his horns and claws, but that our hearts will again see Christ and rejoice in him. Thus, here on earth, Christians experience an ever-recurring alternation of a little while and again a little while. Now it is dark night, soon it is day again. Therefore, the lamenting does not have to last forever, even though it seems and feels that way when we are in it. But even though we cannot see or determine the end, Christ has already done so. He points out to us in advance that we must bear this suffering, no matter how bad and unpleasant the devil makes it. Even though we do not see the end, we must wait for him who says, I will put an end to it and will again comfort you and give you joy. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor John. Please rise as you're able as we now sing our closing chorus, Go Now in Peace. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.